Gosh, over the course of the last hour, my sinuses have just gone. I'm struggling here, but it's what happens to me this time of the year. But I hope I get through with the next 2 hours largely unscathed, and hopefully you largely unbothered by this clogging up of my sinuses at the moment. But the lines are open, 021-446-0567. You can drop me a WhatsApp, 072-567-1567. But of course, every Friday around about this time, we cross live to our colleagues at Deutsche Welle in Berlin, Germany. We get news and views from the European continent. Today, joining us on the line, Chelsea Delaney, how are you doing today?
Good morning. It's good to be back.
We're focusing very much today on the European Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen. She's pledging to make vaccines and getting it to the rest of the world, and she's wanting to make that the EU's top priority. The EU has already promised to give 200 million vaccine doses to low-income countries. What will that make, or how will that make a difference in a global vaccine shortage?
Yeah, it's a good question. So Ursula von der Leyen, who's the president of the European Commission, gave her State of the Union speech this year, earlier this week, and she really focused on the global vaccination rate. She called it an injustice that that wealthier countries have made so much progress towards vaccinating the majority of their population, and you know, in a lot of lower income countries, 1% or even less of the population has been vaccinated. So her real focus is to sort of try and close that gap, because for one, it is a global injustice and it's very unequal, but it also poses a threat to the rest of the world if the virus continues to spread. So they want to increase their vaccine donations to the rest of the world. They had already pledged about 250 million doses to lower income countries by the end of the year. They're hoping to do another 250 million doses by the middle of next year. But I would say this is really just a drop in the bucket. It's estimated that the world still needs 10 billion more doses to reach herd immunity. So this won't change the picture there. And as well, there's already a lot of criticism of the EU, because while it has made these big pledges to donate hundreds of millions of doses to lower income countries, it hasn't really come through on those promises yet. So of the 250 million doses that it's promised by the end of this year, they've only actually sent 9% of those. So there's clearly a big gap between what the EU is saying here, what they hope to do, and what they've actually achieved. So I'd say there's certainly good intentions from these EU leaders, but we still have to wait and see if they actually can deliver.
So the EU seems to have plenty of vaccines available, but there are still major discrepancies in vaccination rates among EU members. Who's in the lead and why?
Right. So at the beginning of the vaccine rollout here in Europe, there was a lot of criticism of the bloc for moving too slowly. What's happened now is that we actually have an oversupply of vaccines in most countries. And this has led to a real variation among countries in the bloc for vaccination rates. So in countries, particularly in the north of Europe, so these wealthier countries, we've seen very, very high vaccination rates. So countries like Norway or Belgium have vaccinated more than 80% of their adult population. But in Eastern Europe, the vaccination rates are extremely low. So Bulgaria has vaccinated 20% of adults, Romania 30% of adults. And even here in Germany, only about 75% of adults have been vaccinated. So we're sort of in the middle. And there are a lot of reasons for that. But a lot of it has to do with vaccine skepticism, particularly in Eastern Europe. A lot of people are very, very skeptical of state institutions. They're skeptical of doctors. There's a lot of misinformation running around there about the vaccine. So that's a major challenge for these countries, because they have all these doses that they can't use. So some have been having to sell them to other countries. Here in Germany, we've seen a similar case where there still are a lot of people who are refusing to get vaccinated, and the politicians here are making this a big priority, especially as we lead into the winter when infections are likely to increase. So this week has been dubbed the Vaccine Action Week. So they've been basically trying to just make it as easy as humanly possible for people to get vaccines. They've set up vaccine centers at sporting events, at gyms, really everywhere that people are in large numbers. They're trying to get those vaccines to people. They're even giving people free donor kebabs, which is a popular street food here. So I think that there's still a lot of people on the fence about getting vaccines, but right now that the focus is just to break down any barriers that are making it difficult for people to actually access those.
While we're still in the midst of a global pandemic, we are also looking ahead at future possible global health emergencies. The EU has pledged 30 billion euros to fund a new emergency health agency to better prepare for crises like this, a possible next pandemic. And as scientists have been saying, we've been preparing for a coronavirus or something like the coronavirus pandemic for some time now. But a new agency, what will it do?
So this has been a main focus of the European Union since the pandemic broke out. It really caught people off guard here, and it put a spotlight on all of the vulnerabilities of the bloc. So they've talked about building up this agency. They've named it HERA, the Health Emergency Preparedness and Response Authority, which is a very Brussels jargon name. But it's basically going to be responsible for two things. One is preparing for health crises. So this is going to be things like stockpiling medical equipment, things like PPE, masks, vaccine equipment, things that you need in a pandemic or other health crisis. The other thing that they're going to be doing is making sure that Europe has enough supply and manufacturing capabilities, because this was something that also really came to light at the beginning of the pandemic, is that Europe was very, very dependent, particularly on China and Asian manufacturers for a lot of goods. And when the supply chain started to shut down at the beginning of the pandemic, Europe was basically left in the lurch. So they want to be working with manufacturers. They want to be working to make sure that we have these production lines that are ready to go when the next pandemic hits. As well, there will also be crisis responsibilities for this agency. So if there is a crisis, they basically will be coordinating the responses through this centralized agency. But of course, this is Europe, so there's a lot of bureaucracy. And at the end of the day, this agency likely will only have limited power because of the way Europe is structured. Countries have the responsibility to direct most health care policies themselves. So it won't be the only agency, the only organization in Europe that's going to be coordinating responses to health disasters here in Europe.
Charles Delaney, our colleague at Deutsche Welle in Berlin, Germany. I look forward to chatting to you next week. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you.